I want to do this real quick. I'm going to introduce our first speaker of tonight. This is Dr. John Ed Matheson. He was a senior pastor at Fraser Memorial United Methodist Church in Montgomery for 36 years. During that time, Fraser grew from modest attendance to 8,000-something, establishing itself as a community leader in outreach, reaching all sections of Montgomery with the gospel. After Dr. John Ed retired, he founded the John Ed Matheson Leadership Ministry, designed to train pastors and lay people to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm fired up. I don't know about you, but I'm fired up tonight to hear Dr. John Ed Matheson. Can we make him feel welcome? Can we say hello?
And thank you, Covington County. Thank you, men. Where else would you rather be on a Friday night than here with a great group of men and praising God and looking forward to great things? It's a marvelous thing. I want to thank the folks who have put this together. I'm as committed as I've ever been in my life. I met your DA or AD or one of the other, Walt Merrill, today. He might be pretty good at being a DA, but he sure can't drive. Have you ever ridden with him? If you ride with him, you'll rededicate your life five times before you'll ever get to where you're going. He and his group, they've done a super job in putting this together. Thank you for letting me come and be a part of it. Just a couple of quick things, and then I have a little gift for everybody here. I hope you get one of these bookmarks. And it's Pray for America. And we need to pray every day for America. Put it in your Bible. And every day when you open your Bible, pray for America. And on the back, there are a couple of things that I do. Every day, I do a one-minute devotional on several radio stations. 1 minute. And we also place it on Facebook. On the back here, it shows you how to get to it on Facebook because most of us don't know how to do it. If you don't have a grandchild near you, just look here and you can see how to do it. Every week on Wednesdays, I post a one-page devotional blog on leadership, and we mail out several thousand copies of that, and if you'd like to get on it, it shows you how to do it. So pick up one of these. They're free. I'd like for you to get it, take it home. Now, some people said that but a lot of folks don't read the Bible. If you don't read your Bible every day, put it on the refrigerator, someplace where you'll know to pray for America every day. And I just finished a little book this year on where's America headed. And I'm greatly concerned about us as a nation and where we're headed. And there's some of those that are available up there on the table also. Thank you for the privilege of letting me be here. Now, my assignment as we begin this 2 days together, it's going to be a great day. Men of steel. Christians are not wimps. Christians are men of steel. Christians are not somebody that folks just walk over. There are people who know how they believe. They wear the armor of God, and God is working through us to be victorious in His Word. You're going to hear a lot about that. You've got a couple of great speakers coming tonight and also tomorrow. Let me begin foundationally with this one understanding. The beginning of being a man of steel, the beginning of being a godly man, is to be sure that I know that I am saved, that my sins have been forgiven. Now, there are going to be a lot of other things that come along, but you won't understand them. So I'm going to begin this first session tonight by just talking about how can I know that I'm saved. I now go to a lot of churches in this country. The number one question people ask is, can I be sure? How can I be sure? And especially it comes at a time when somebody has faced someone who has died. Just about 3 weeks ago, the man that has the locker next to me at the place where we work out, a former great player at the University of Georgia, a good friend, somebody that I saw quite often, a picture of health, but he died of a heart attack. And right there in the locker room, everybody started asking, why that? I mean, of all people, it looks like he wouldn't have had a heart attack, but death comes with such suddenness. Let me just ask you today, if your life ended tonight, where would you spend eternity? That's the most important question. Where would we spend eternity? I love coaches. I love athletes. I'm doing 4 or 5 coaches conferences this year. Back in February, I was doing a baseball conference, 460 coaches in Birmingham. It began on Friday morning. Thursday night, I'd finished a men's conference, was driving to Birmingham. It was pouring down rain. You could hardly see in front of you. And I was very carefully got off the interstate for safety. There were a couple of coaches coming up from the South. They had been to a girls' volleyball game. They would come up for the coaches' conference. And not many miles from here up towards Greenville, in that blinding rainstorm, there was a truck like this that came to a halt in front of them, and they plowed into the back of it. Both of them were killed immediately. First question those coaches started asking, why would that happen? And really the most important question is, if it happened to me, where would I spend eternity? Now, let me say to you, being saved gives you life today abundantly. But it also gives you assurance to live forever and ever and ever with Jesus Christ. He came and lived and died that we might have eternal life. So here's the question. How can I know that I'm saved? Let me just walk through just very, very quickly. And would you just examine your life as a man? Do you really know? Can you be for sure that your sins have been forgiven? If there's any doubt, I just want to plead with you tonight. Be sure that you know that your sins have been forgiven. In 1 John 1:8, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins, and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How can I know that I'm saved? Let's just walk through that verse for a moment. If we confess our sins. Now that just presupposes that we've sinned. We all know that. In fact, the Bible teaches us that each of us is a sinner. And we don't like to hear that much today. We like to talk about how good things are. But because of Adam and Eve, every man born is a sinner. And the only way to deal with sin is to confront it and admit it and confess it. And unless we admit it, God can't really help us a whole lot. I spend a lot of time with people who have had an addiction to alcohol. The number one thing that you discover when somebody has a problem with alcohol, everybody knows they have a problem except themselves. Their family knows it. Their friends know it. And when you ask them, oh, it's not a problem to me. I can handle it. And they tell you that working with alcoholics, you can never get free of that addiction until you come to the basic point of admitting, I am an alcoholic. The same is true with drugs. It's true with religion. Unless we come to a point where we say, I am a sinner. In fact, Paul said, I am the chief of all who have sinned. In fact, Paul said, if a man says he doesn't sin, then he's just deceiving himself. So the very, very first step is that we confess our sins. We are sinners, and to know that I am saved, I have to begin with confessing that. Have you ever done that? Have you ever confessed? I love sports. I love being around coaches. Love being around athletes. And I do several FCA and a lot of team chapels. I've met a guy that's about the meanest guy that I'd ever seen. I mean, he's bad. He played football at Alabama, was on the coaching staff at Alabama. And then he did the unpardonable thing of coming to Auburn on the coaching staff. And became defensive coordinator when they went with a perfect season. And I've been on the practice field and watched him. And Wayne Hall was about as mean, a vile a person as I've ever seen. Dog cussing players. I mean, he was just mean. I mean, he was bigger and stronger than most of them, and he didn't mind kicking them. I sort of hated to be around him. And let me tell you what happened to Wayne Hall. One day he was confronted with the fact of who he was. He called me and he said, John Ed, would you consider performing a ceremony for me and my wife? I said, does she know what she's getting into? He said, I've told her and we've talked about it. And he said, I've come to some realizations in my life and God's going to change my life. Now, can I say to you that only God can do that? Only God can do that. And Wayne Hall went from being the meanest, worst, most vile coach I had ever seen to the transforming grace of Jesus Christ. He said one day, I confess my sins, and God forgave him of his sins. And when you see him today, he's just a marvelous, wonderful person. I've been around him when some former players came in, and he was standing over to the side, and they walked over and talked to him for 2 or 3 minutes, and then they walk off and said, is that Coach Hall's brother? Who is that person? You see, the Bible says, when you're in Christ, you're what? A new creation. And do you know where Wayne Hall is tonight? This mean, tough, vile person. He's leading a Bible study at a nursing home. Loving, gentle, God's changed him. Now, don't you listen to me, men. God isn't in the business of making us better. He's in the business of making us new. Now, a lot of times we come, and I have people come to me, and they say, man, I'd like to change some of my habits. I'd like to be a little bit better. God didn't come to make me better. He came to make me new. In fact, Jesus used a couple of illustrations of that. He said, if you have a piece of cloth, and there's a hole in that cloth, and you take another piece of cloth that's new and put it on that patchy old cloth, as soon as you wash it, that new one will shrink and you'll have another hole. Look what Jesus said. I didn't come to put a patch on an old garment. I came to give you a whole new garment. Let me announce to you tonight, men, God didn't come to patch you up. God didn't come to put a little Band-Aid here to improve. God came to change us entirely and make us new. Jesus also said, if you got wine, you have an old wineskin that was made out of leather. When leather ages, it loses its elasticity. It's sort of like a baseball glove. If you don't keep it oiled well, it starts to crack. He said, now if you take new wine and put it into an old wineskin, as soon as you pour the wine in and the gases start to expand, that thing will burst wide open because it can't contain it. Jesus said, I didn't come with new wine to put in an old wineskin. I came to give you a whole new wineskin. Let me tell you the best news I've got for you tonight, men. God came to give us new life. He came to make us new people. He came to transform us completely. And I also want to say to you is that He is faithful. Only Jesus can do that. Now, a lot of folks say, well, I'm going to try to be better, and I'm going to try to change my attitude. I'm going to be a better disciplined ball player. I'm going to be a better... And they go to different sources of resources. Listen, if something is wrong with my life, take it to somebody that can fix it. I've always enjoyed playing competitive tennis. A few years ago, I started having trouble with my hip. And I went to the doctor, and he said, looks like you have to have a hip replacement. I said, well, doc, could you tell me what caused it? He looked at me and said, look how old you are, John Ed. It's age. I said, well, that doesn't make sense to me. This hip's the same age as this hip, and there's nothing wrong with this one. But he said, you're going to have to change. At the same time, I was having trouble with my car, and it wouldn't crank sometimes. And so I carried it to a mechanic. Now, I want you to notice something. I'm pretty simple-minded. When my hip was in trouble, I didn't carry it to a mechanic. I carried it to an orthopedic surgeon. When my car wouldn't work, I surely didn't take it to an orthopedic surgeon. I took it to a mechanic, and both of them were fixed. Man, let me plead with you. The only person that can solve your problem is Jesus Christ. Don't go somewhere else looking for answers. Jesus said, I am the way. Not one of the ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Now, there's some good things, but only He can do that. Got a couple of good friends in Montgomery, Lanny and Laura McAndrew. Lanny trained pilots for JetBlue Airlines, and he had an office in New York City. He was there during the week and would, smart enough, he'd come home on the weekends to Montgomery, and he trained pilots. He told me, as before I retired and he retired, he said, John Ed, I've got a lot of perks in New York City, and I'm going to be retiring. I'm going to lose all those perks. Before I do, why don't you and Lynn go with Laura and me to New York, and let's spend 3 or 4 days, and it won't cost any of us anything. Well, boy, when I told my wife that, she said, let's go tomorrow. So we went to New York City with the McAndrews. We were there 3 nights. We decided to let the women decide what to do one night, let the men decide what to do one night, and then we jointly would decide what to do. Well, the first night, the women decided we went to see a play. The second night, the men decided we went to see the Yankees play. The third night, we just all decided, while we're in New York, before we go home, let's eat at a nice restaurant in New York City. And Lanny said, hey, you pick out any restaurant you want. I can get reservations at any restaurant in New York City. And the women picked out a restaurant that they couldn't even pronounce the name. But we got reservations. We went as one of those restaurants. I couldn't even read the menu. They didn't have any prices out at the end of it. I had to get help just to order off the menu. And then when they got ready for the time for the bill to come, I just was feeling, I don't know what got into me, worst mistake I've ever made in my life. But I said to Lanny, look, we've been up here 3 days. You paid for everything. Dinner's on me tonight. And that's the worst mistake I've made in the last 50 years. Don't ever offer to pick up the check at a restaurant in New York City, especially one that you can't even pronounce the name. Well, the waiter came over and handed the bill, and I just very confidently reached in my pocket, handed him my card, and he left. Was gone for a few minutes, a few more minutes. And I looked over in the corner, and there were all the waiters sort of huddled up like a football team. And finally, the waiter came back over and looked at me and said, Dr. Matheson, you're from Montgomery, Alabama? I said, yes, sir. Big shot. He said, here in New York City, we don't take Blue Cross Blue Shield to pay for a meal. Now, let me tell you, my Blue Cross Blue Shield is good for some things. If I go to the doctor, if I go to the hospital, if I go to the drugstore, it's good. But it's not worth anything at a restaurant in New York City. I want to just announce to you tonight, there's only one person who can forgive sin. There's only one person who can bring life and life eternal, and that is Jesus. Now, you might have some people that help you out here and help you out here, and there's some good resources, but there's only one source where we can ultimately be forgiven of our sins, and that is in Jesus Christ. And then look what he says. He will forgive your sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us. Make us clean. Forgive. Now, forgiveness is tough. Let me tell you how much God loved us. See this cross? He sent his son into the world, and he died on that cross that each of us could be forgiven and cleansed of our sin. I want to ask you tonight as we begin this conference, do you know for sure that you're saved? Do you know for sure that if life ended today or 100 days or 100 years from now, that you'd spend eternity? I've come to announce to you that you can know for sure in Jesus Christ. Now, he can cleanse anybody. I've had people tell me, well, you don't know how bad I am. You don't know what I've done wrong. Jesus healed a prostitute, and she was saved. A little IRS man that had climbed up in a sycamore tree, he invited him down, and his life was changed. Blind people, lame people, everybody that Jesus met, he was able to cleanse and change their lives. There's not a man sitting here tonight that you've done something that's too bad that Jesus can't cure. Let me just say, we've got a lot of young boys here. Greatest decision I ever made when I was in high school. At a meeting sort of like this, I felt God's call. Now, let me tell you, I've been in church all my life. I had Sunday school pins at 8 or 10 years, perfect attendance. Read my Bible every day, did everything just right. But I'd never really asked God to forgive me and to change my life. And the best decision I ever made was one night to respond to God's call and invite Jesus into my heart and into my life. You might be in church all the time. You may never have been to church in months. Whatever you are tonight, Jesus is the answer to give us life and eternal life. He can change us. I've got a great friend who I talked with 2 or 3 days ago. Brilliant man. They say he was the smartest man ever to go to Auburn University. Came out from Auburn and made a lot of money. And he was quite successful. But then he started doing two things. One, he started drinking a little bit, just to sort of take the edge off in the afternoons. He drank more and more and more, and he became addicted to it. He had to have at least a six-pack plus every day, and then chase it down with a bottle of Jack Daniels. But then he also started using all that money he made to gamble on some football games and then some other things. And you see, it got out of control with him. He started going over to our neighboring state in Mississippi, and he would check into one of those casino motels and take out a 5-digit line of credit on Friday afternoon, and then have to double it before midnight. And he would lose gobs of money. Sometimes he'd make gobs of money. He told me, he said, "Johnny, that's hard to hide from your wife." I said, "It'd be hard for me to hide from my wife if she found out." And his wife found out, and he was a miserable mess. Successful, but boy, he had become a slave to alcohol and to gambling. His wife drug him to church a couple of times. He watched us on television. And then one day, I just had the opportunity to confront him. I said, "Let me tell you, there's one thing that can change your life, and one thing alone. You can go to all the therapy. You can do all of these things. But if you'll confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins, and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness." Ken said, "You mean He could do that to me?" I said, "I know it. And I'm not a gambler, but I'd bet my life on it." And he just decided, okay, I'm going to ask Jesus to do that. And in a semi-emotional way, he just knelt down and asked Jesus to forgive him and to cleanse him from all unrighteousness. Let me tell you what happened to him, men. Split second. He's never touched another drop of alcohol, and that was 15 years ago. Split second. God took away all desire for gambling, and he's not called a bookie or made a bet since. You know where he is tonight? He's meeting with a group of recovery folks who's helping them. Ken Love discovered his only hope was in Jesus. And he'll testify to you tonight that Jesus changed his life. So I just want to ask you tonight, are you sure? 100% sure? Are you 100% sure that your sins have been forgiven? That you're saved? That you've trusted him completely? Or maybe tonight you'd like to say, "Hey, I just want to be like Ken Love. I want to be like Wayne Hall. God, I just want to come before you. And I want to confess and ask for your forgiveness. And he'll take us right where we are." Is God speaking to your heart right now?